All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. All right, I want you to follow along as I read. I'm going to read the first nine verses. The first nine verses of this psalm. This is a psalm that was written by David and is an encouraging psalm. It is one that many people through the centuries have read and have been encouraged in their own lives because of what is written in this psalm. There are some famous verses here. Delight thyself, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Everybody has heard that phrase. Verse 23, David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We've all heard that phrase before. And then one of my favorite verses in the Bible, verse 25, where David said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Boy, that's true, isn't it? And so on and on, this psalm has been a blessing and an encouragement to a lot of people. Now, I want to show you a little principle, a little truth out of this psalm. And when we get there, I will tell you what I want to show you this evening. Look at verse 1, though, and notice the encouragement. David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, folks, let's just all be honest. We've about had it, haven't we? Huh? We've just about had it. I've had so many people tell me in the last few months, Pastor, I've just about had it. Well, yep, I know what you mean. We're all kind of in the same boat here. We're tired of the evil. We're tired of the double standards. We're tired of the lies. We're tired. We're just tired of government. We're tired of bureaucrats. We're tired of Congress. We're just tired. I know I am. And so what's the encouragement? Well, David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Watch this. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. In other words, folks, their day is coming. All right, their day is coming. You say, well, not fast enough for me. Me either, but their day is coming. So don't get discouraged. Fret not thyself, David said. All right, so what do we do? Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, in other words, in his evil way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. Did you hear that? God says, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, verse 9 is my text verse tonight. And I want to speak to you a message that I'm going to entitle, Their Day is Coming. So don't get discouraged, Christian. Don't let the devil get your eyes off the Lord. You keep your eyes on the Lord, and you let the Lord take care of this old evil world in which we live. But you keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, there are three things that I see in this ninth verse. Let me read it to you once again, and then we'll pray, and then the message, Their Day is Coming. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. All right, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the eternal word of the living God. And Father, that's what we have in front of us tonight, the eternal word of the living God. And Father, I pray that you will bless us richly this evening as we have gathered now around your word. I pray that you will bless and help me as I preach. I pray that you will bless and help our folks as they listen. And Father, I just ask you to give us an encouraged heart as we leave here this evening. Yes, we live in an evil age, and it's not going to get any better. But Father, we have so many promises from you and from your word that we dare not get discouraged along the way. So help us, Father, to see your promises and to claim them as our own. And may we leave here tonight rejoicing in the blessings and in the things of the Lord. Speak to our hearts, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. One of the major questions that really has plagued the minds of God's people forever is this question. Why do the evildoers so often seem to prosper? Why do the evildoers prosper? And I read these first nine verses so that you would get the idea that is sort of the theme and the question that David is addressing here in this psalm. I think a lot of folks have wondered why those who ignore God and who have no relationship with the Lord whatsoever, and who live their lives with no shame for their sinful lifestyle, seem to just go through life with no problems, and it seems like everything they touch turns to gold. Now, of course, reality, that's not the way it is. But that's the way it seems so often. As we look at evildoers, we generally seem to think that they go through life with rainbows hanging over their heads, and that everything is just hunky-dory in everything that they do. Folks, in our world today, we have so many people who seem to get away with their wickedness and their evil behavior, and we are simply appalled by it, but they have no shame whatsoever, and it seems that all they do is prosper in their evil ways. We see politicians, we see athletes, we see TV personalities, we see all of these Hollywood heathens, and they seemingly get away with their deplorable behavior, and it seems that there is little or no accountability for them. It is blatantly obvious that today in America, there is a two-tiered system of justice. It's obvious that there is. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to be able to see that there is a two-tiered system of justice in our country. There is one system for you and for me, and there is another system for Democrats. And it's just that simple. They do what they want to do without repercussion. And they know it. And that's why they just keep doing what they're doing. But notice, folks, the psalmist tells us that evildoers shall be cut off. That day is coming. Amen. You say, well, who's going to cut them off? Man won't. But God will. Men won't, but God will. And they shall be, the psalmist says, cut off. When the Lord Jesus says, when God says, behold, your sin will find you out, you can be assured that eventually their day of reckoning is coming. Back in the first half of the 20th century, the world watched as the New York Mafia seemed to prosper, and they just appeared to come out of nowhere and run everything, and it just appeared that they had it all. They murdered, they plundered, they stole, they jockeyed for power with very little pushback. Corrupt judges and corrupt politicians worked tirelessly to protect many of the worst of the worst. But in time, the evildoers were cut off. You see, folks, it's still true. It's in the Bible, and it's still true, but the wages of sin is death, exactly. The wages of sin is death. And eventually, all of these people were forced to pay the price for their sin, which ultimately was death. Some died from the end of a gun. Some were forced to pay the price for their sin with being executed for their crimes. But we learn that evildoers eventually will be cut off. And this declaration from God is still valid in our world today. Oh, I know it seems like that this old corrupt world in which we live just continues to get away with the cheating and the lying and the killing and the stealing and the blasphemy and the child sex crimes and all the, even much more. But folks, mark it down. God says the evildoer shall be cut off, and he will, and she will. As I was growing up, I remember sitting around the table with my mother, and we would ask some of these questions. Why do the evil people in this world just seem to rise to the top? And what's going on? And I can remember my mother getting this scowl upon her face. And she would point her finger at us, and she would say, "Now don't you look at that like it's a good thing. It's not a good thing. They're getting away with it now, but they're not going to get away with it forever. You mark this down, their day is coming." I can remember my mother saying that many, many times. Their day is coming. And folks, for sure it is. Now, this ninth verse is showing those of us who love the Lord and who are devoted to the Lord, it's showing us that we have a great hope. We have a wonderful promise of a happy, brighter future and the anticipation of equal justice that will be evenly applied to all. Now, I want you to see three things from this ninth verse. First of all, I want us to look at the wickedness. Now, look at your verse. Look at it again. The psalmist says, "For evildoers shall be cut off." The evildoers. David makes the statement and he calls these people evildoers. Folks, there have been evildoers for as long as there have been people on this earth. I mean, you just look at our first parents, and they had an evil-hearted son named Cain who killed his own brother. And I'm telling you, folks, every civilization and every culture after after Adam and Eve, every single one has had its share of the evildoers. But God says that evildoers shall be cut off. Or, as my mother put it, their day is coming. Their days are certainly numbered. Now, let's consider two things about their wickedness. First of all, let's think about the popularity of wickedness. Folks, listen, this world is in love with wickedness. This world is fascinated by wickedness. This world that we live in just thrives upon wickedness. We look around our world today and it just seems like the evildoers are never going to be put in their place. As a matter of fact, it seems like the evildoers are in charge of just about everything in our country today. Seems like it anyway, doesn't it? I mean, you just stop and think about our country today. They run so much of our society. And it seems like everyone in America today is completely comfortable letting the evildoers run things. You say, "Well, I'm not happy with it." Well, it seems like a lot of folks are. How do they keep getting elected? Well, we know now how they do it. Cheat. Cheat, yes. We know now how they do it. But it just seems like they run everything in our country. Think about it, folks. We have perverts running the entertainment industry. There's no other way to put it. We have perverts running the entertainment industry. We have spoiled, rotten athletes running the sports world and then standing up acting like they are the moral conscience of the nation. God help us. Now, I'm just, as Hamlin would say, sidebar. All right, sidebar. I'm telling you, folks, I don't care what LeBron James has to say. I don't go to LeBron James to find out how I'm supposed to think. I don't care how ABC or NBC or Fox or CBS or any of the rest of them. I don't care their opinion on things. If I want to read somebody's opinion that matters, I'll read my Bible, thank you very much. But I don't care what Jimmy Kimmel says or that other loudmouth on late night TV or Lady Gaga or any of those Jenner nudists or any of those Kardashian clowns. I don't care what any of them have to say. Their opinion is not what governs the way I think. And then there's the nations of the world and all their wickedness. So many nations today in our world, think about it, folks, they are run by rulers that are just as evil and just as cruel and just as ruthless and just as selfish and just as greedy and just as dishonest and just plain old evil, just like what runs our country today. The whole world's this way. Biden and the UN and Putin and Xi and that loudmouth Erdogan from Turkey and every other Muslim dictator have all been ranting and raving for the last few weeks, demanding that Israel stop bombing Gaza. And you know what just tickled me to death was that Prime Minister Netanyahu told all of them to go pound sand. I loved that. I just loved that. You say, well, Pastor, why do the people of Israel not like Netanyahu? Same reason the people in America don't like Trump. Same reason. Same scenario, same design. I mean, Netanyahu stands up for the truth and for what's right, and he won't let them mess with his country. And so he fights back. And it doesn't matter what the issue is. Have you noticed that the left in America and the left in Europe and the wicked and the evil-hearted and the self-serving, they're always taking the wrong side of the issue? Have you ever noticed that, or is it just me? No, you've noticed it, haven't you? That's what they do. They take the wrong side on every issue. And yet, these people are the ones who are always seemingly in control of the world. And then, think about this. You got all these Muslim nations who seem to be gaining traction and so much control of our world. I mean, even right here in America, they are moving here faster than they can get on planes and get the American government to pay for it to get here. Seriously. And they're taking over. They are taking over our country. They've already got some in Congress. They've got them in the military. And I'm telling you, folks, America's going to pay the price for that. I have a calendar on my desk, and I keep my schedule in that calendar. And the other day, Lynn asked me about a date. And I turned around and I looked on the calendar to see if there was anything that was going on. And I saw this little print on there. So I raised my glasses up so I could see through the third focal. That's the bottom one, you know. You're all blurry when I do like this. That might not be a bad thing sometimes. But I had to get the glasses up, and I looked down, and I thought, what in the world's that? I thought it was going to say, Columbus Day or Flag Day or Patriotic Day. No. It was a Muslim holiday on my calendar, telling me that a Muslim holiday. And so I got to looking through that thing. It's full of Muslim holidays. Now, listen, I'm not going to celebrate any Muslim holidays. Amen. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. I have absolutely no plans to celebrate Ramadan next time around. Amen. But yet, it's even on the calendar that was purchased right here in America for an American, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist preacher to keep his schedule in. And right there it is on my desk. Folks, I'm tired of it, aren't you? I mean, every Muslim holiday is highlighted like I care. And I don't care. Can I tell you something else that might shock you? Our kids are learning about Islam in elementary school. They're not learning about Christianity in elementary school, but they are learning Islam in public schools. Funny how that works, isn't it? There are several Muslims in Congress who are constantly, you watch it, they are constantly taking the wrong side of every issue that comes up. Everyone, bar none, without exemption, they take the wrong side on every issue. Now, folks, why doesn't the world scream and shout at Gaza and tell Hamas to stop firing rockets indiscriminately with the intent of killing innocent Israelis? Why? Oh, no, they don't dare. What they do is they say, oh, Israel, you big bullies, you need to quit picking on poor little old Gaza. Well, wait a minute. Who fired first? You know who fired first. Netanyahu and Israel, they do not sit over there and launch rockets into Gaza indiscriminately. They will call on the phone and empty a building and tell them, you got 2 hours to get out of there. Well, why are you bombing us? Because you have rocket launchers on the top of your building. That's why. 2 hours. And if you're not out of there, too bad. And those Hamas and Palestinians know if they get the warning, you got to get out of there. Because 2 hours from that phone call, your building is going to be rubble. They know it. Why doesn't the world scream and shout at Hamas? No, sir. Doesn't work that way, does it? Evil triumphs and good is put down. They fired the rockets first, folks. Israel did not start this latest war. But thankfully, our text says the evildoers shall be cut off. You see, these evil people are not going to be the world's final rulers. Amen. Mark that one down. You remember the outline I've given you to describe the last days in the book of the Revelation. You've got the rapture. That's the next thing to happen on God's calendar. The rapture of the church. where the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds and the trumpet sounds and there's a shout and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we that are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Rapture, then ruin. That's tribulation period. 7 years in length. It's found in Revelation 6 through Revelation 18. And it is a time of God's wrath poured out upon this world. And you know what's going to happen? All of those nations that have stood against God are going to be destroyed. Amen. They're going to be destroyed. Let me say it this way. Let me use the Bible terminology. They're going to be cut off. Cut off. That's amazing, isn't it? But that's what my text says. The evildoers shall be cut off. And so plain and simple, folks, Jesus is going to going to be the world's final ruler. It's not all of these that will that are on the earth now. It's not the Erdogans of this world or the Putins of this world or the Bidens of this world. No, sir. They are not the final rulers. They would have you think that we are evolving into this great society, and when they are running the world, it's going to be wonderful. Well, it's not, folks. And we're seeing that right now, aren't we? Paying $4 a gallon for gas. China eating our lunch every day. But thank God our text says the evildoers will be cut off. All the earth's kings and tyrants, for as long as anyone can remember, they've only done one thing, folks, and that's make a mess out of this world. Millions and millions of people have been killed in the name of progressive government. Mao Zedong, whom the left just adores. They quote him all the time. Hitler and Castro. And Castro's right-hand murderer, Che Guevara. You know, it's cool for Hollywood and for the rock and roll world and for the athlete world to wear a t-shirt with that scroungy-looking thing's face on the front of it. And that guy was responsible for murdering so many people that the tally could not even be added up. Why? Why? Well, because they think that they have the answers. And if you don't agree with them, they'll kill you. And folks, that is exactly where we're headed in America. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. I don't understand why you would want to wear a murderer's face on your t-shirt. I don't understand why you would want to do that. I mean, it's just showing a cold-blooded killer on the front of your shirt, and that's what he was. Che Guevara. Look it up. Look it up if you don't believe me. But then let's consider the punishment of the wicked. All right? Notice the sureness of the judgment. Evildoers shall be cut off. Folks, when God says something is going to happen, you can trust His word and know that if He says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And so you've got rapture, you've got ruin, the tribulation period, you've got the return. And when the Lord Jesus returns, He is going to defeat all of these earthly kings, and then you've got reign, R-E-I-G-N, and the Lord Jesus is going to sit down upon the throne of David, and he is going to rule and reign this world in righteousness. Amen. These guys aren't the final rulers. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Lord Jesus is. The evildoers are going to be cut off. Cut off. That's the language of suddenness, you know. Sawed off, that takes a little time. Right? But if you cut something off, that's quick. That's immediate. And that's how it's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes back. That's exactly how it's going to happen. You see, the Antichrist is going to think to himself, I've got him now. I'm going to shove Israel into the sea. They'll be gone now. I finally got him. And then all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus will step out of heaven. And he's going to have all of us with him. All of us who know him as our Savior now, we're going to be with him. We come back with him. Oh my, what a day that's going to be. But David says they'll be cut off. All right, second thing. And by the way, number two and number three are short. They are, trust me. Number two, let's look at the wealth. All right, we looked at the wickedness. Now let's look at the wealth. I see their wealth in the little phrase, they shall inherit the earth. Wow. Who's they? Us. Those who know the Lord. And what are we going to do? Inherit the earth. You mean the whole thing? Yep. Yep, the whole thing's going to be ours. The whole earth? Yep, it's going to be ours. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You know, the wonderful thing about this verse is that it does not just stop with the announcement that the wicked will one day be cut off, but it also speaks of an inheritance which will be given to the godly. Notice the moment of the inheritance. I see that when you stop and think about the word inherit, inheritance. You see, the word inherit implies a future, does it not? It implies the future. A son or a daughter will one day receive an inheritance from their parents. It might be money. It might be land, it might be a house, it might be an insurance policy, but the parents will write up a will, and they will divide their earthly belongings among their children as an inheritance. And the children will one day in the future receive the inheritance from their father. They don't get it right now, but it is promised to them in the future. And folks, that's what the Lord Jesus, that's what God the Father has done for you and for me. We are his inheritance. You say, well, how's that so? Well, he only has one son. Remember that? And the Bible says that the moment you and I trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Woohoo, that's pretty good news, isn't it? We will inherit the earth. But now, wait a minute. The devil offers and promises us our reward now. You see, that's what he did to Eve. Remember that? Oh, if you just eat this fruit, God knows that you'll be just as smart as he is. You'll know just like he knows everything. That was for now. For now. That's all the devil can offer anybody. Don't forget, he's a liar, he's a deceiver, he's a murderer, he's the biggest scam artist that ever lived, and he will offer you the reward right now. But he has nothing to offer for eternity except eternal misery and despair. But the promise from the Lord is that the earth and that the wicked are going to be driven into the abyss, and then all of us are going to inherit the earth. That's a pretty good promise. Secondly, I want you to notice the magnitude of the inheritance. You see, folks, the earth's a big place. I mean, it's full of wealth. You just think about all the gold that's under the ground, all the silver that's under the ground, all the platinum. You just think about all the oil. You just think about all of the diamonds that are still in the earth. Man, I mean, that thought just boggles the mind. You know, right now, I've got a little fraction of the earth. That's all I got. I got 1.236 acres or something like that out at 1711 Bachman Valley Drive. And that property has my name on it. It's mine. It belongs to my wife and to me. All right, that's all I got. That's all I got right now. But one of these days, I'm going to be a rich man. One of these days, I'm going to own it all. Oh, don't look at me like that. You are too. We have to share. I know you don't want to, but we have to. So just think about the magnitude. Folks, we are joint heirs with Jesus. And the promise from God Almighty is that we are going to inherit the earth. A whole world will belong to the godly. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the waiting. The waiting. All right, we looked at the wickedness, and then we looked secondly at the wealth, but now thirdly, I want you to notice the waiting. Look at your verse again. Verse 9, the evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Notice the waiting. You see, folks, we cannot miss this crucial part of the verse. The psalmist says that those that wait on the Lord. Now, this is a very difficult requirement for receiving the blessing of the inheritance. But think about this for just a moment. Waiting involves confidence. Hey, do you believe the promises that are in this book? If you believe the promises that are in this book, you know what that means? That means you should not be discouraged today. If you believe the promises that are in this book, that means you should not be fretting today. Folks, you're on the winning side. It's already been established. We're just waiting on it to happen. We're just waiting on it to all be carried out. But the prize is already ours. Waiting involves confidence. I don't like to wait, do you? But we are willing to wait on most things that we have to wait on because we know the reward of waiting. All right? Let me illustrate. Let me just illustrate it for you. I will go to an airport, and I'll get through security, and I will go in and sit down at the gate. But I do that, and I wait, patiently because I am confident that there's going to be an airplane at the gate, and I'm going to get on it, and that airplane is going to transfer me to the place that I want to go. So I'll go in that airport, and I'm willing to wait because I have confidence that Southwest is going to get me where I want to go. The other day, a couple weeks ago now, I was at the store over here at We Is Market. That's what Larry used to call it, We Is. The We Is Market. And I had a bunch of stuff, and there was a lady that was, you know, as I came down the aisle, I saw that just about all the cashiers were full. But there was a lady that had just about everything checked out. And so I thought, all right, well, I'll just get in line here. I'll just jump in line here. So I got in there, and just as soon as I did, another fella came in behind me. So now I'm stuck. That's the point I'm wanting you to see. Now, I started putting my items on the little belt for checkout. And this lady then started a conversation with the checkout lady. Now, evidently, they had been friends for about 100 or 200 years. I'm not real sure which. And it was like me and the other fellow behind me, it's like we weren't even there. And so I'm standing there waiting, trying to be as good a Christian as I could be. And after about 10 minutes of them telling stories to one another, the lady said, "Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. I have coupons." So I turned around and looked at the guy behind me, and he rolls his eyes, and he went, "So I can't go anywhere." If he had left, I would have left. I would have put it all back in, and I would have left and go check it out myself. But the guy didn't move. And so I just stood there. Now, my cherub-like demeanor was about to go out the window. Seriously. And they started talking about coupons and which ones were good and which ones weren't. And by the time she checked out, I'd grown a full beard. I mean, it was awful. It was absolutely awful. And so I kept standing there, and believe it or not, when that woman was walking away, she was still talking. Nobody was listening to her, but she was still talking. And the checkout lady grabbed my items and started ringing them up, and she said, "Thank you so much for your patience." And I said, "Ma'am, how in the world do you get from this face that I'm patient?" And she lifted her head, and I smiled at her. See, I got you. You thought I was mad, didn't you? And I smiled at her. And she said, "You know, I never thought about what we were doing to you." And the fellow back here said, "And me." She said, "I am really sorry." I said, "Are you new at this job?" Because if you are, you just learned a very valuable lesson. Don't stand there and yak with your friend on the job. You could get fired for that. She said, "Oh, I hope not." And I said, "Well, you better check me out real quick because I know who the manager is here." She looked up and I smiled. I would never do that. But you see, folks, we're confident that our waiting is going to be worth it. And if we're confident of that, we'll be patient. We'll be patient. Secondly, waiting involves not only confidence, but secondly, waiting involves character. Character. Do you know why we wait, folks? Do you know why? Do you know why we wait on the Lord and we don't get weary in well-doing? Do you know why we wait and we don't blow our stack and damage the testimony of Christ? Do you know why? The reason we do it is because in verse 9, we are told to do it. That takes character to do what you know you're supposed to do. Dr. Bob Sr. used to say all the time, character is what it takes to stop you. Mm-hmm. That's great advice, isn't it? Folks, listen, this is not our reward down here. You know, watching the elites destroy our country that we love, that we grew up in. I mean, they're getting more and more emboldened with each passing day to do their evil against our country. I mean, watching these people ruining our nation and destroying the country that we love so much. Man, it takes character to keep your cool. I saw a cartoon the other day, and it was a bunch of folks carrying Bibles, and the little caption said, "Stop the world, I want off. Stop the world, I want off." And boy, I tell you, that's sometimes how we all feel, isn't it? But dear friend, be patient. The Lord knows what He is doing. Have the character to trust God's promises. Have the character to believe what this verse says that we're to do. Wait on the Lord. Be patient, and you will one day receive the inheritance that is yours. As a joint heir with Jesus, you and I are going to one day inherit this earth. You say, "But Pastor, I'm so tired of this awful, evil world in which we live. I just don't know how much more of it I can take." Well, dear friend, let me challenge you tonight. Wait on the Lord. Because I hate to tell you, that's the only option you got. If you don't wait on the Lord, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to go batty. So just wait on the Lord. He knows exactly what He's doing, and trust me, everything is right on schedule with God. I guarantee you it is. And as we wait, we will one day see that, sure enough, the evildoers will be cut off. But those of us who wait on the Lord, our day is coming. Our day is coming. Oh, by the way, for these evildoers, their day is coming. But wait a minute. Here, cheer up. You say, "Why, Pastor?" Because your day is coming too. When you'll inherit the earth. Isn't that great? Through the years, I've had to go mainly I don't know what you'd call it. I guess, somebody in the family thought if Pastor goes, they won't act like idiots. Doesn't always work. But there's been times where I have had to go down to the courthouse and where I've had to sit there as testimony, if need be, and I've had to watch families as their father's things were divvied up. Sometimes it's been rather ugly, a couple times, but more times than not, when I've done something like that, I've sat there and I have thought, wow, you just became wealthy for doing absolutely nothing. Nothing. I mean, the kid did nothing. And now he's a millionaire. But you know, all of us, we're going to become millionaires one of these days. But not just physical things, but we're going to be rich in our Lord, in His presence, having His heart and His mind, understanding His book. Oh my, what a day. So folks, we're headed for a wonderful inheritance. And I hope that you'll keep that in mind the next time you get weary in well-doing. It's not over yet, folks. It's not over yet. So let's just keep realizing their day is coming, but so is ours. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You now for our time together tonight. What a wonderful promise is in this book. And Father, we watch the world around us and we get so discouraged sometimes. We watch the evildoers and just like the psalmist said, we wonder, why do they prosper so much? Why do the evildoers prosper so much? Here are God's people struggling, doing all they can do to serve the Lord and stay right and fight the devil and keep their sanity. And here's all these evildoers, and they just go through life without any repercussions, doing what they want, when they want, how they want. But Father, help us not to be discouraged, but to just trust You, to look to You, and to realize that we're on the winning side. So bless Your word to our hearts tonight, and help us to see the principles and see the truths that are in this great verse. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.